Last week we started in the morning on a new series called The Life of Jesus. So, we had an introduction last week when we kicked off with the life of Jesus. And I mentioned in the very beginning, and I'll remind us again, that we're going to be focused mainly on the practicals, but looking at how the life of Jesus is a model for a Christian person or for a believer. There are other theological parts that I will not go into. I intend to just dwell on the practicals. Jesus is our Savior. And because He's our Savior, His life becomes a model we can follow after, or we can imitate. And we usually sing this song, that Jesus is the answer for the world today. So if we're saying Jesus is the answer for the world today, then it is very important as believers to study His life and see how He lived while He was here on earth. Because Jesus came to live here on earth so that He can demonstrate to us how you can live a supernatural life. How you can be in this body, but also live a supernatural life. So last week we looked at how Jesus invited people. And we said that Jesus invited people into a relationship. And we said that Christianity is a relationship. Or we could say that coming to Jesus, you're coming into a family. So when Jesus was inviting people, He was inviting people so that they can get to know who the Father is. Jesus wasn't inviting people to just come and join a group of people. No, Jesus was inviting people to come into the family of God. So therefore, we looked last week that Jesus' invitations were very personal. And also the people that invited other people to the faith learned from Jesus, that all of them would have this phrase, "Come and I will show you a person." In fact, if you read the Bible, when Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, this is what he says. Colossians chapter 1. This became the model for everybody. And I don't know why for us, in our time, we have really struggled with this. In verses 27, I'll jump 26. Now I'll read 26. "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints." So, Paul is saying, this mystery is now being revealed to everybody. 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 It's very important that you observe that. Everyone has been introduced or can get to know who or what this mystery is. It's not just a few people. It says everybody. When you're reading the Bible, sometimes you have to take note or observe why an emphasis. So it's saying all, then that means all these saints can come to know or have the ability to know what this mystery is. And then in verse 27, to them God willed to make known. That is an invitation, right? What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? Which is Christ? In you the hope of glory. So the mystery is Christ, but Christ is for everybody. That's the invitation. And then he would go on in verses 28 and say, him we preach. So in Christianity, we preach a person. In Christianity, we preach a person. That's why the disciples would say, we are witnesses of the things we've heard and the things we've seen. In other words, I'm a witness and I'm giving you my experience with this person. And I think we need to move Christianity from just being a theological subject, but an experience with a person. You're not sharing the gospel with somebody to come and join your church. Or you're not looking for company. No, you're sharing your experience with this person, knowing that if another person encountered this person, the way they've changed your life, you are very sure they will be changed as well. Are we together? So in Christianity, we preach a person, not a subject. We preach a person. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. So also in Christianity, we present men to the person of Christ. We preach or we bring men to Christ, but because we are vehicles, we are to present them to Christ. Relationships. Please never forget that. Relationship. If somebody can get a little glimpse that God is living, I said last week you've done almost like 99% of the job. If Christianity is still mystic or hard to get or hard to reach, then we are no different than Buddha or any other religion, because all other religions are not based on a living person. All other religions are dead religions. Of course, Christianity is also religion, but they are dead religions. It's only Christianity that has a person or a God that is living. So we're not trying to promote a dead religion or a culture of knowledge. No, we are passing on knowledge of a person that is living. So that is what we looked at last week. Now this week, we are going to look at his miracles. Last week we looked at his invitation. This week we are looking at his miracles. So, we've looked at in the past that all the miracles and signs and wonders that Jesus did were pointing to the resurrection and the message of Jesus. John 20, 31. Okay? Let's start from 28 so that we can get a little bit of background. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, 31. But these are written that you may what? That you may believe that who? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Miracles, signs and wonders were written that we may what? Believe that Jesus is the what? Is the Christ, is who is the Son of the living God. But if you go back on verses, I think, 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That means that we really don't have to have miracles to believe. But if there are people who need to be pointed to, then we would do miracles. Because there are people who have believed without seeing. Like without seeing. Like they have not seen any sign. They have not seen any wonder, but they have believed. So we can't say that without miracles, without signs and wonders, we can't preach the gospel. But if there are signs and wonders and miracles, they are to point to Jesus Christ. Are we okay this morning? Acts chapter 10. Let's start from there this morning. Verses 38. We're going to read 38 and 39. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then 39, and we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Can we go back to verses 38? How God anointed. You see that? How God did what? How God anointed. Now, the only key, if you want a key, to qualify to heal and do miracles like Jesus did is only one. Can you see it there? What's the key? What's the key? Huh? The only qualification is anoint with the Holy Spirit. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, you can heal. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, you can heal. Didn't he say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit? You see that? And with power. Okay? Or you could say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, we looked at Nazareth last week, with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing. So if you are anointed, or if you have the Holy Spirit, which we have. Everybody who has believed the gospel has the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, this is what is going to happen. You have power. Everybody say, I have power. Which is Acts chapter 1 and verses 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Acts 1. But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Isn't it the same verse? It's the same verse. Once you have the Holy Spirit, you have power. Amen? Come on, amen. And the power is that you witness. You witness. Last week we said, a witness has experience. You know what you're talking about. You've seen, you've touched, you've experienced. So, once you have the Holy Spirit, you have power to do what? To witness for. So, when Luke is writing, let's go back to 10. He says, we are looking at the life of Jesus, okay? He says, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing. So, if we are, if we have the Holy Spirit, then we are supposed to go out and do good. How are we doing good? The doing good is the healing. The doing good is what? Is the healing. And what? And all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And if Jesus is our model, then we are going to go around doing good and healing people who are oppressed. Sickness, not every sickness, but most of the sickness is oppression. From who? From the devil. So if we've been anointed, which we have, then we have power, then we should be going around doing what? Healing. And setting those who have been oppressed by the devil. Can you say amen? So the only qualification that you need is to have the Holy Spirit. That's all. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you are going to go around doing good by what? By healing all those that are doing what? Are oppressed by the devil. Amen? Okay, we're going to be looking at a few of the healings, okay? Just a few, not all. Just to give you a glimpse, not all. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his what? His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. When? Come on, when? Come on, I'm teaching with you. When? His what? Was what? Was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So, a leper is healed immediately. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and went about doing what? Good and healing all those who were oppressed. So a leper was healed. Let's look at Mark. Okay, no. Mark, yeah, Mark. Mark 1, 32 to 34. Mark 1, 32 to 34. What does it say? At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were what? Sick. And those who were what? Demon possessed. Are you seeing that? And what happened? And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with virus diseases and cast out many what? Demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. So you see what Jesus is doing, or what Jesus did? Healed the people, cast out demons, and delivered people from the what? From the powers of darkness. There are many, many, many healings. Let's also read Matthew chapter 9 and verses 32 to 33. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. So you can see that everywhere Jesus is moving, he is setting men free, which Luke in Acts called doing good. How? Healing and setting all those who were tormented by the devil. Luke 8:22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey." That's another miracle that Jesus did. He commanded the sea to come. And we know that Jesus also fed the 5,000. And we know that Jesus also walked on water. And we know that Jesus also fed the 4,000. And we know that Jesus also cast a fig tree. John says there are so many miracles that if we could put them in one book, they could not fit. But these are miracles that Jesus did. They were healing, casting out demons, resurrections, nature miracles, provision miracles, that I am not going to go through. Now, this is one of the most interesting things that I want you to observe. I was kind of looking at and doing a study, and I hope I am accurate, and looking at, in the four Gospels, the miracles that Jesus did inside the temple versus the miracles that Jesus did outside the temple. And if you look in all the Gospels, which I try to look, you're going to find that Jesus performed about 6 miracles inside the temple. When you search all the Gospels, right? Because some miracles are the same in most of the Gospels. Jesus performed 6 miracles when he was inside the temple or the synagogue. But when I did a search on all the miracles that Jesus did inside, all right, the temple, I mean outside the temple, not inside the temple, there were about 26 miracles. Outside, not inside. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the people who need the miracles or the signs are for people who don't know the way. Because most of Jesus' miracles were not done inside. Most of Jesus' miracles were done outside. Because miracles are to help people be pointed to. I don't think we are aware, but if you are out there, people who don't believe, it's very easy to bring them to the gospel if they see a sign. I'm sick, and somebody doesn't believe, and say, can I lay hands on you? My daughter is having dreams. Demons. Can I come and pray for them? I'm feeling pain. Can I come and lay hands? People who are out there, the easiest way to reach out to them and preach the gospel to them is a lot of the times through signs, miracles, and wonders. People who are inside, sometimes it's a little harder to get you healed. That is for another day. But people who are outside there, a lot of the times it's very easy to get them healed. And when they get healed, they begin to be curious. What has happened to me? What is going on? And what do? You start now to explain to them, just like in the scriptures, you start to explain to them who has healed them. Like the disciples did. Read the book of Acts. They say, this man or this woman or this child has been healed in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Then you start from there. Jesus has healed me. Who is he? Why? How come? Do I also have that kind of ability? You start from there. You will be amazed how it's easy, very easy, to heal people outside. So, like I said last week, your job is to lay hands. We have just said from the very beginning that the only qualification that is needed is for you to have the Holy Spirit. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. If you have the Holy Spirit, you qualify. You qualify to heal people. You qualify to lay hands. Can I hear an amen? So, Jesus did more miracles outside the temple than he did inside the temple. In fact, most of the people that God healed were not yet saved. But after they got healed, they became what? Curious. Why? Because the sign was pointing them to a message or to a person. John chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. You see it there? He does the what? Come on, he does the what? He does the works. If we are Jesus' followers, we are going to do the works. Huh? Paul said that my message or my gospel did not just come with persuasive words, but my message came with a demonstration of the Spirit and what? And power. This message that we preach, which is a person, has power. The gospel is the power of God. We can set men free. We can deliver people. It's not just a curriculum that we come and we study. This message is alive. It's a person. People are struggling out there. People are looking for hope. People are looking for real life. People are looking for safety. The person is the safety. Verses 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus was telling these people who don't believe that if you don't believe me, at least believe me for the works, for the miracles that I've done. They should point you to the Father. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Believe me for the works' sake. Miracles are not just done for the sake of being done. Every miracle has an intention. To point that person or to point those people to the person of Christ. That's why I can't just come here and just heal. There has to be a purpose. Am I pointing people to Christ? Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Mark 16 and verses 14. Before Mark. Matthew 12, verses 38. Are we there? He says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see what? A sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Sheba will judge this generation. The men in Jonah's time will judge this generation. Because when they had the message of Jonah, or when Sheba had the wisdom of Solomon, they believed. But a greater than Solomon is here, and a greater than Jonah is here, person. But we have failed to persuade men. Or we have failed to believe. Yet, when the men who had the message of Jonah, they repented. Repentance means really to believe. A greater than Jonah is here. a greater than Solomon is here. So you can see that the signs had a message they pointed to, or the signs had a backbone of the message they were talking about. Praise the Lord. In John 14 and verses 12, John 14 verses 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, how do you escape such a verse? Ojepe notia. Mujisome, it's in your Bible. Do you have your Bible? Underline that verse. That verse is in your Bible. Your Bible. Your Bible. It says, who he believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. It's in your Bible. Isn't it in your Bible? So, why are you... Your verse, Ojepe notia, how do you escape from such a verse? Have you believed? Now you're fearing. Have you believed? Have you believed? So if you have believed, the works that Jesus did, which John talked about, you can do also. And not only that, greater works than these. He will what? Or you will do, because I do what? I go to the what? To the Father. Can we read? Continue. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. What will Jesus do? Anything you ask in his name. What is his name? What is his name? One of these days we'll look at the name of Jesus and what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus. But actually, if you think about it and you try to bring it home, we are witnesses, right? So if I'm praying in the name of Jesus, I'm actually praying in his in his stead. It's not that I'm calling Jesus. No, I am his representative here. So when I heal or when I lay hands on people, it's Jesus healing. And I think that releases the pressure from you. You are not the healer. Jesus is the healer. He says, in my name, you have believed. You represent him. So as you lay hands on what you say that represents his name, he has guaranteed that it will be done. Why? Because it glorifies the Son, who is the Father. Miracles and signs for those who don't believe and those who are weak-fainted, they give confidence that God cares, even though we know God cares. Omwana omuto, let me say it in Lugano, omwana omuto bw'omuwa ekintu, kiraga nti ofaayo. Right? Naye bw'okula, ebintu tebiraga nti bwe nkuwa ekintu nti nfaayo. Bw'okula, If you grow up, things, when you are still young, when I give you something, it demonstrated that I care about you. Right? But when you grow, right, and you mature, things don't communicate the same. Doesn't even know. But even murderers give gifts. So, is he communicating that they love you? Or some people can give you, but they are trying to seduce you. So neither giving nor not giving, communicate. But because you're still young, a gift will communicate care. Right? A gift will communicate what? Will communicate care. So even signs and wonders do the same thing. They communicate to the people that God cares about them, that God loves them. But you, God is living inside of you. And there's nowhere he's going. So you already know that God loves you, even if you do not see a sign. That's why Jesus told Thomas, you have believed. Actually, even Nathanael, you have believed because you have seen. But blessed are they who believe without seeing. Hallelujah. So gifts are for babies. Gifts are for what? Are for babies. In fact, when you grow up, or when you mature, you stop looking forward to be given. You look forward to give. Do you know that my greatest joy is really to provide for my family? I'm not looking forward to them to give me anything. Nothing. But me, I look forward. If I can sell my kidney or if I can sell my brain, I will do. Just to make sure my family is okay. But when I was young, you looked forward to gifts. I get excited. My kids would not mind, but I get excited when they like write me a note and do certain things. I get excited for them. Because if I don't get excited, they will get offended. I get excited, but my joy, my greatest excitement is that I provide for them. In fact, even when I'm looking, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not just sugarcoating. When I'm looking for something they need, they're excited. Because I want to get it exactly the way they wanted it. So, there's nothing that my children or my wife is ever going to give me to prove that she loves me. I already know that they love me. I'm not looking forward for a gift, by the way. My birthday, I'm not looking forward for gifts. In fact, if I can, on my birthday, when I get a lot of money, I'll give them gifts. Why? When you mature, the giver, is the one who gets out, not the receiving. So, we should move as a church. When we go out, let's do the miracles. When we get in here, let's advance. Let's walk in love. Hallelujah. I hope you got that. That was for free. There's a friend of mine who asked, what's your favorite car? I said, I don't have any favorite car. So what's your dream car? There were two. I said, I don't have any dream car. Any car You drive it. And after some time, you get tired of it. So, what happens? You get tired of your dream? Like where we're staying right now, I need to change things inside. I get tired. I say, but this is my house. This is my dream house. You get tired. I get tired of seeing the same sitting room of the same, and you want to move. If I can go and stay on the moon, I'll do that. But to say that this is my dream is setting yourself for a fall. Things are things. Right? The most important thing is if I get tired of you, I get worried. I really get worried. If I don't talk to the people that are in my circle, I get worried. Because I know that something wrong is happening. Relationships are the most important thing. That's why we are focusing on a person. Hallelujah. Even in the gifts, you are pointing the what? I wish there were so many married people here, but even in marriage, you know, and I know sometimes it's taken extreme. We have, like for us who are married, we have like a day, our they call it our anniversary. And sometimes it's really hyped, overly hyped. Really overly hyped that for the women, if you don't do it, it's like everything you've ever done in the past is erased. It's one day, but the rest of the days I've been loving you, I've been taking care of you, but this one day, Valentine's Day, I think sometimes it's overly hyped. If you go out, go out. But that day doesn't show that I love you. If I take you out, that I really love you. In fact, I should be loving you the other days. It's not bad to go out. I'm not saying we don't go out. But I think for me sometimes it's overly hyped. That somebody will get annoyed if they're not taken out. You're still a baby. You know, I was just thinking about it yesterday. I don't know, it's maybe because it comes with age. But I was just thinking about it yesterday and say, you know, I don't really care if I never had like a thank you. You know when I give someone something, sometimes you want to hear thank you. I don't really care. I'm not doing it for you to thank me. I'm doing it because for me, I feel like if I do this thing, it will make you feel good. So if you don't thank me, I'm okay. I'm okay. Because I'm not doing it for you to say thank you. And I know many people would look forward to always hear, you never said thank you, you never said thank you. We need to grow. We're looking at the life of Jesus. Lastly, in Matthew 16, and we're looking at his miracles, if you came in a little late. Last week we looked at his invitation. We're looking at his miracles and Mark 16 verses 14. It says, later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief. Underline that. He rebuked their unbelief. Which is hardness of what? Heart. Unbelief is what? Hardness of heart. Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. To who? To every
creature or every person. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, everybody say, and these signs shall follow. So the signs follow the believer. The believer does not follow the signs. The signs follow. You almost like know 100% that as I am preaching the gospel, signs, like you are aware that if I find a problem when I'm preaching the gospel, the signs are with me. And you just need to pick out, which sign do I need? Do I need the word of knowledge? Do I need the healing? Do I need to raise this one from the dead? Do I need to cast out demons? You just need to be aware. Right? Like being in a house, you are aware. What's the problem? Should I bring out a panga? Should I bring out a hammer? Should I bring out a nail? So even the believer who has the Holy Spirit has all those signs or those tools inside of them. So if you are found in a certain situation, you discern, like the woman at the well, she needed a healing. She needed what? A word of knowledge. The blind man didn't need a word of knowledge. Needed what? Eyes to be open. Lazarus did not need the word of knowledge because he was already in the tomb. What did he need? He needed to be raised from the dead. The people Jesus fed, 5,000 and 4,000, they did not need a word of knowledge. They needed to be fed. So you discern. Jesus has said, those who believe, these signs shall follow. Follow in my name, they will what? Cast out demons. We saw Jesus casting out demons. You can also cast out demons. You don't need to call their names out. Just cast them out. And then number two, they will speak with new tongues. While you're there, you discover that somebody doesn't speak in tongues. What do? You take them through the gospel and then you fill them with the ability to do what? To speak in tongues. What else? They said, and if they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. It doesn't really mean taking poison, but there will be circumstances in your life that may appear deadly. Okay? So, the Bible says they will not hurt you. Like sometimes people can really, really do things in your life. But what the Bible is saying, they will not hurt you if you are walking in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. They will lay hands on the sick. This is one of the easiest. They will lay hands on the sick and they will what? And they will recover. All these signs are following you. You just have to be aware that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So wherever you are, you just discern, what tool do I need? And you pull it out. Amen. What are you doing? The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, going about doing good, healing those who were what? Oppressed by the what? By the devil. Amen. And then lastly, you will see what happened. 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out, what did they do? Preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming. How was God working with them? Confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So, as you go there, God is working with you. When you encounter a problem, he will what? Accompany. You are working with him. You have encountered a problem. When you encounter a problem, he will what? Give you the solution. And sometimes the solution comes in a sign, in a miracle, in a wonder. Amen? So what's the conclusion? The conclusion is, that if you believe Jesus, you are supposed to go out and do good and heal the sick. You are supposed to be healing conscious, casting out demons and setting people free. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. How many people laid hands on people this week? The first thing that should usually happens when a sick person you encounter is pray. Pray. And believe for immediate healing. Amen? Come on, amen. The first aid that you should give is prayer. And then the other things may follow, depending on the situation. But prayer must come first if you are a believer. Be aware of the signs following you. The signs are already with you. Amen. Can we stand?